ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हास्य पावकम्भीरम् जिग्रन्थ्यात्मानमात्मना अन्त्यससर्च भगवान् गन्धर्वाप्सरसङ्गनान्
With a laugh full of deep significance, the worshipful Brahma then evolved by his own loveliness, which seemed to enjoy itself by itself, the hosts of Gandharvas and Apsaras. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The musicians in the upper planetary systems are called Gandharvas, and the dancing girls are called Apsaras. After being attacked by the demons and evolving a form of a beautiful woman in the twilight, Brahma next created Gandharvas and Apsaras. Music and dancing employed in sense gratification are accepted as demoniac. But the same music and dancing, when employed in glorifying the Supreme Lord as kirtan, are transcendental, and they bring about a life completely fit for spiritual enjoyment.
Very grateful to be amongst you. Sri Sri Radha Das Bihari's most auspicious home. Srila Prabhupada's blessed office. Today we are reading from Canto 3, Chapter 20. Entitled Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura, text number 38. In previous chapters, in previous verses, Lord Brahma, in the process of creating this particular universal phenomena on the order of the Lord, is personally going through various transformations. Srila Prabhupada explains, in order for there to be creation, one must be empowered by Rajaguna for the mode of passion. So Lord Brahma, a living entity with extraordinarily pious karma, is given this particular role. Born directly from the navel of Lord Vishnu, the first person he meets in his life is Lord Vishnu, who not only gives him the knowledge of the Vedas, which tells the whole purpose of life within the universal creation, but is also empowered on behalf of the Lord to do the work of creation. A very extraordinary service. So as Brahma is doing so many various obstacles come in his path. And each time he has to turn to the Lord to help him. This is the nature of service. Whatever service we may be given on behalf of Krishna, undoubtedly, obstacles will come on our path. Sometimes, very dangerous and apparently impossible difficulties. And in such a situation, a devotee welcomes the opportunity to totally take shelter of Krishna in full dependence, knowing that there's no other way to overcome it. When Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta, executing the order of his spiritual master and Krishna, He saw before him impossible obstacles to overcome. The obstacle of his frail age, going to a foreign land, no facilities, practically no proper contacts, no money. He didn't even feel that he spoke English in such a way that it could be understood. He was going to a land where no Vaishnav had ever put his feet. Very difficult. Impossible. And factually, besides his Guru Maharaj, everybody told him it is impossible. Give up the hope. Sumati Murarji, his very loving well-wisher, she said, Swamiji, do not go. Impossible. You will die. And his friends, and his family members, and even his godbrothers, who were also given the same order, they all told, impossible. Do not even try. But he did. Because of his complete faith in his Guru Maharaj's instruction. His complete faith was in causeless mercy. And he wrote his beautiful poems, Markine Bhagavat Dharma, wherein he prays to Krishna in a very helpless state, completely dependent. Krishna, if you do not give me the words, it is not possible for me to penetrate their hearts. If you do not give them the understanding by which your message will have effect, then I can do nothing. I am completely dependent on you. I'm your puppet. Make me dance as you want me to dance. You have given me this name, Bhakti Vedanta. Now, my Lord, it is for you to fulfill the purport and the real purpose of this name, to give knowledge and devotion. Your insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And this is the spirit of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Devotees being put in impossible situations and taking shelter of Krishna. The prominent stories of Bhagavatam are simply this message. The Pandavas were put in impossible, difficult situations. Jayadrat, it was impossible for Arjuna to kill him by sunset. Only Krishna could save him. And then there is Prahlad Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, the Brijvasis, when Indra sent his rains. What could simple cowherd men, cowherd ladies, and cows and bulls do against the Sambartaka clouds?
the clouds of total devastation of the universe. Thundering, lightning bolts, massive torrents of rain. Just recently in Bombay, you had 37 inches of rain in one day, and it paralyzed the whole city and took over 1,000 people's lives, and the whole world was watching in great amazement. What could you do? But that was just an insignificant little earthly monsoon rain. But the clouds of devastation, Sambardhaka clouds, it didn't fall in drops like that 37 inches in a day. It falls in pillars of rain pouring from the sky. Those clouds in one day could create 50 miles deep of rain. That is their power. In a single day, they could make the whole earth into one gigantic ocean. And with all their power and all their strength, they were viciously casting winds and rains. Even recently in New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina, and the strong winds and rains. But these clouds, with all of their powers, they were sending winds. They were probably thousands of miles per hour, those winds. And torrents of rain. Now, what are the little cows going to do against that? Srimad Bhagavatam is all about this story. They all turn to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, you are very strong, Krishna. Please save us. The Brijavasi said, please save us, Krishna. And look, your cows, they are in distress. Your cows are in distress. You are the protector of cows. So Krishna smiled and lifted Giriraj, Govardhan. And just by the power of the touch of the tip of his little finger on the bottom of Govardhan Hill, Giriraj was so empowered that 7 days of these massive winds and rains, they could not remove a single leaf from a single tree on all of Govardhan Hill. Hare Krishna. Not a drop of water came under the hill. And not a single blade of grass was uprooted on top of the hill. When Krishna wants to protect, there is nothing to fear. Vajahure mana srinandanandana abhaya charanaravindare. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. That we pray to our mind. Please engage yourself in the loving service of Sri Nandanandana. Then there is nothing to fear. Otherwise, this world is full of fear. At every moment, there's something to fear. And for an ordinary person, the only reason they're not in fear at every moment is because they're ignorant of all the possibilities of what could go wrong. So many things to fear. But for a devotee like Prahlad, or Ambarish, or Pandavas, or Brijavasis, or Srila Prabhupada, there was nothing to fear. Because the greater the obstacle, the deeper one takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Brahma, out from his rear side came some demons. And immediately they attacked him to have sex with him. This was unbelievable to Lord Brahma. Just newborn children who are boys. They were so lusty. They just attacked him to have sex with him. At first he thought it was humorous. But then he realized that they were serious. And they were about to overpower him. And he ran away. And ultimately he had to take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna told him, give up your body. Cast off this body. So he cast off. Sridhar Swami, original commentator of Bhagavatam, describes that he cast off his subtle body, not his gross body. Actual progress in spiritual life is to cast off one's subtle body, one's false ego, and all of the desires and attachments that it has. Because we have both the gross body and a subtle body. Srila Prabhupada explains, what is liberation? Liberation means to be free from your subtle body. Death doesn't solve anything, really. Suicide doesn't solve any problems. It only makes things worse. You die physically, and according to your subtle body's condition, you have to take birth to experience all the karmas that are meant for you. So really, death isn't anything. Doesn't help in any way. But death to the subtle body, that is liberation. Death to the false ego and all the mind's materialistic attachments. So it describes herein that Lord Brahma's body, his subtle body, took the form of an evening twilight. And it explains herein that this evening twilight induces passion within those who are materialistic. And the demon class, they were so much infatuated by this evening twilight that they saw within that twilight most beautiful female form. They went mad, infatuated, intoxicated with kama or lust. And they were offering incredible glorifications, practical prayers to the form of this woman, praising all the various shapely parts of her body. And they madly chase after her to enjoy her. But actually, there was nothing there. It was just evening twilight. It was like a mirage. They were seeing something that wasn't even there, but it was such a reality to them. It totally consumed their entire consciousness. But factually, that's what's happening in the whole world. That's what material existence is all about. Chasing a mirage. Due to desperation, you see things that aren't even there. Actually, if you're not thirsty, you probably won't see mirages in the desert. Even if you see something that looks like it, it won't have any... You won't take it seriously. You could easily figure out what's what. But when you're starving of thirst, when you really want something, then you start maya. You start seeing what is not. A person who has no material desires, a person who is fixed in Krishna consciousness, sees everything as it is. Acharya Upashanam. One who hears from the spiritual master understands everything as it is. However, when we are infatuated by so many unfulfilled desires for our own material enjoyment, and we're always looking, hoping, searching, to find the fulfillment. And then Maya takes charge. And she creates an appearance of what is not. Srila Prabhupada defines Maya as that which is not. The whole world becomes nothing but one mirage after another. One illusion after another. Just something to somehow, the mind has to find something to fulfill its desires. The mind becomes obsessed with its desires for sense gratification. And Maya doesn't even have to create anything, really. We see things that aren't even there. We all have this experience in the mind, is it? Sometimes you worry about things, and sometimes you crave and long for things that don't even exist. Experiences that don't even exist. We just manufacture and manufacture and manufacture. That's the nature of the mind. And then the intelligence, when it's overcome by the mind, it creates havoc. So this is what happened to the demons. They're just looking into the twilight and they're all seeing the same thing. The girl of their dreams. The most beautiful personality. And they're chasing after her. Totally obsessed. Their minds, their unconsciousness is consumed by something that doesn't even exist. So the soul wants to find pleasure. But as long as the soul is under the influence of the ahankar or the false ego, it's thinking, I'm this body, I'm this mind. And then all sorts of illusions come by. The soul is looking for real pleasure. The soul is looking for real love. And we see dead matter. Just nothing but dead matter. And that infatuates us. Yes? We're thinking it's going to make us happy. It's like the evening twilight. The Pungshastriya Maituni Bhava Metam. Rishabhdev explains the basic principle of material existence is this infatuated attachment between male and female. But really, what is it about? It's so illusory. Because the soul wants love, spiritual love. But it's looking toward a dead corpse. Srila Prabhupada explains, what is this body? It's a dead corpse flapping for a few minutes only. It's the soul that gives it consciousness. It's the soul that gives it life. But the body's dead matter. But the soul wants to enjoy. And we're trying to find beauty and substance in these bodies. But really, what is it? Actually, Maya really creates an embarrassing situation. Blood and pus and stool and urine and marrow. I mean, there's just not even a fraction of an inch of covering of skin. Yes? And everything underneath is horrible. Yes? If you go to a hospital and you see just a body that's slightly cut open, it turns your stomach. You have to be a doctor to tolerate it. I know one person, this person went through all kinds of years and years and years of medical college to be a doctor. But then when he actually had to deal with blood and open wounds, and he just started vomiting. He couldn't tolerate it. It's just too much. So really, what is it? Just a thin little tiny layer. And it's only beautiful because of the relativity of your eyes. If your eyes had a higher magnifying power, you would just see all kinds of holes in this body and hairs growing out of this body. It would be disgusting. Did you ever put your hand under a magnifying glass? It's not something attractive. It's very grotesque. all the pores and holes and little bacteria crawling around. So Maya just creates these eyes that just sees in a very relative way to make something look like what it is not. If you see it too close, too far, it's horrible. If you see just a few millimeters underneath, it's horrible. And it's growing, and you have to do all kinds of arrangements just to try to keep it looking nice. But yet people are obsessed, absolutely obsessed. And the amazing thing, even though we've heard everything I'm saying for so many years, still we're infatuated. Even though we know all about it, we have the gyan, we have the knowledge. We know it's an illusion, but the illusion is so powerful that even if you know it's an illusion, still, you can't give it up. What is it? Why is the soul looking for pleasure in lumps of dead matter, which are really grotesque? And we're seeing it as something so beautiful. This is the illusory energy. It's because we so much need pleasure. Ananda mayo byashat. We so much have to have pleasure. We are such an ananda. We can't live without pleasure. And when we forget Krishna consciousness, when we forget Krishna and our relationship with Krishna, we have to find it somewhere. So due to this desire, we're infatuated and bewildered by the mirages that are manifesting within the twilight of this material existence. And when Lord Brahma saw the demons literally chasing after the twilight, can you imagine seeing this? People just totally obsessed their entire consciousness. They can't think of anything else but something that's not even there. And they're running after it. Lord Brahma, he gives a full laugh of deep significance. And then he created the Gandharvas and Apsaras. And Srila Prabhupada writes herein, next, after this beautiful woman in the twilight, he created Gandharvas and Apsaras. Music and dancing employed in sense gratification are to be accepted as demonia. But the same music and dancing, when employed in glorifying the Supreme Lord as kirtan, are transcendental. And they bring about a life completely fit for spiritual enjoyment. Vishayavani Bhartante Niraharasya Dehina Rasa Varajam Rasopyasya Parandriskvani Bhartate. Only solution. Yes, even after so much knowledge and so much information about the illusory pursuit of the vain objects of sense gratification, still, there's such attachment. Krishna says in Gita, yatato hyapikonteya purushasya vibhashtata indriyani pramatini haranti prashabhamana. The senses. And the number one of the senses is the mind. The mind and senses are so strong and so impetuous with their desire to enjoy. So strong and impetuous that even an intelligent man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them is often bewildered. But then Krishna explains, but one who experiences a higher taste, that person is fixed in consciousness. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is speaking to conclude this beautiful purport. That we're all looking for pleasure in various ways. Bhakti is the art of replacing our demoniac tendencies for material enjoyment with the most virtuous, divine, eternal propensities for the service of Krishna. We cannot simply say no to the senses. Aruya Krishna Paramparam Tata. Even those who have perfected the art of saying no to the senses. Neti, 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 not this, not this, not this. And actually achieve Brahman realization, that undifferentiated realization of the impersonal aspect of the Absolute Truth. Because they are not in their constitutional position, which is Sachit Ananda. They are experiencing the Sat, but not Ananda. The nature of the soul is to love, not simply to exist peacefully. Therefore, even in that state of Brahman realization, there is every chance of that awakening of desire for pleasure again in the heart. And if you do not understand Param Drisva Nivartate, the higher taste of spiritual ecstasy, then you have to fall down again into the material cosmic manifestation and start chasing after these mirages, these illusions, birth after birth after birth. Prabhupada explains herein that music and dancing employed in sense gratification are so very entangling, but yet they're so attractive. Why? Why are they so attractive? Because it's our constitutional nature to dance and sing. Music has such power in this world. Look at somebody who's singing about the mirages of this world. Most all the songs are about singing about what they see in the twilight. Yes, that's what it's all about. Everybody's singing about what they want to get in the twilight, or what they thought they had but they lost. Songs about happiness, songs about longing, songs about distress and broken hearts, and how people like to dance. I remember just a few years ago, just very close to Radha Ras Bihari's temple, we were invited to do a program at one very wonderful family's home, devotees of Shishi Radha Ras Bihari. And there was, I think, about 100 people that attended. And just not far away, I believe it was the Andheri Stadium, while we were doing kirtan with about 100 nice devotees, Michael Jackson was doing his music and dancing. And how many people attended? Like 50,000. Yes, 50,000 people were there. Hare Krishna, this is Bharat Varsha, this is India. I mean, these things could be conceived in America, but in India. So you can imagine what's happening in America. And I was recently in London, and I was with a very prominent person, and he got a call from a very prominent aristocratic person from Bombay, from a very, very high, distinguished family. And where do you think he was? He was talking about how he just came out of the Rolling Stones concert. Hare Krishna, dancing. So much attraction. But what is the result of chasing after the twilight of material existence? The result is further infatuation, karmic bondage, but worst of all, just such a total waste of time in this valuable, precious human life. Every moment is so valuable. Generally, a spirit soul has to evolve through millions and millions and millions of species to come to human life. And to waste our time, and Maya is so expert, she just steals away moment after moment after moment. She doesn't say, come to this concert, enjoy this pleasure forever. For materialistic people, she says, yes, enjoy this forever. And they just run to her wholesale. They sell their souls. But a devotee has knowledge. A devotee understands this is going to cause suffering. This is keeping me away from Krishna. So Maya will tell us, devotees, just enjoy this for one or two times, or maybe for a few weeks or a few months, and then you'll give it up. Because you need it now. You just some relief, some balance. You need it now. But the problem is, she never gives up. The more you get, the more you become attached, and the more she infatuates. What it is just smoke one more cigarette, then you can give it up. Huh? Just smoke for another month, then give it up. Well, you see, you did it, you enjoyed it, so just give it another month. We'll extend the limit to 2 months, and then 3 months. But the problem is, with every month that you smoke, you're getting that much more addicted, and the more difficult it is to ever give it up. Until ultimately you just die with a cigarette in your mouth. Figuratively. But that's the way material enjoyment is. It's addicting. Maya gives us she always just extends the deadline for a devotee. But in the meanwhile, you're becoming more and more addicted to that illusion. So Srila Prabhupada explains that bhakti is the most practical, the most dynamic of all systems of yoga. Because it's practical and it's real. And it is also the constitutional nature of the eternal soul. What is bhakti about? Dovetailing our propensities. Looking for pleasure. Enjoy serving Krishna. Enjoy giving pleasure to Krishna. This is real pleasure. Selfishness is the cause of all of our sufferings. It's the cause of all the sufferings in the entire cosmic manifestation. The root cause of everything that is causing misery is our desire to enjoy selfish desires. That's all. Our nature is to serve. To enjoy giving pleasure to Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada said, you cannot stop eating, but you eat nice prasad. And therefore, you're having some experience of enjoyment. But you're doing it under Krishna's direction. You're pleasing Krishna. That's why prasadam purifies you. Because by eating it, you're pleasing Krishna. When you please him, he gives you his mercy. It's not just some automatic thing. The fact is, Krishna eats the prasadam and invests his own mercy within that foodstuff. And by taking prasadam, by honoring prasadam, even if you don't know what it is, somehow or other, you're pleasing Krishna by doing that, by accepting his mercy. And similarly, we love to chant, we love to dance, we love music. We love bells. So many bells going in this world. Every morning people have their alarm clocks with bells ringing. Yes. Get up, go to work, so you can maintain your sense gratification. That's what it's about. So what are those bells? Just mundane bells. But when the bell rings for Krishna, or when the alarm clock rings to wake us up for Mangal Arati, that bell is very purifying. We like to see beautiful things. I was listening to a tape where Srila Prabhupada is saying, you like to paint. Don't give up your propensity to paint. Paint for Krishna. We like to speak. The tongue wants to vibrate. It wants to vibrate so many things. Prajalpa drains our consciousness, drains our bhakti from our heart, Prabhupada explains. The more you talk gossip and nonsense, the more you drain your propensity for Krishna consciousness from your heart. But to remain silent, that is not the goal of life. Why did Krishna give us a tongue if we're supposed to remain silent? Prabhupada explains that some gurus tell their disciple to become Moni Baba. Don't say anything. Just because they're talking so much nonsense. Just to stop them from talking nonsense and polluting the environment. Just don't say anything. Something like Lord Buddha. The Brahmins were misusing the Vedas so much. They were so helplessly, hopelessly just misusing the Vedas. He said, just stop reading the Vedas and just do what I say. So similarly, when we misuse something so much, sometimes we're just told, stop. But that's not perfection. Perfection is to use it properly. Krishna has given us these tongues as the most sevan mukhi jivado swayam eva spuradyata. Through the tongue alone, we can achieve the ultimate perfection of life. The beginning of devotional service is to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So yes, with this tongue, to speak about Krishna, to sing about Krishna, to fill the environment with Krishna. That is the purpose of life. And to dance for Krishna. When employed in glorifying the Supreme Lord as kirtan, this chanting and dancing is transcendental. And they bring about a life completely fit for spiritual enjoyment. Prabhupada's brilliant genius is he created Sri Sri Radharas Bihari's temple. Why? Simply out of his causeless mercy. Prabhupada was happy at Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. He didn't need anything. Why did he fight against the Bombay Municipal Corporation? He fought against his own lawyers. He fought against the lawyers of powerful, powerful, influential people who had government contacts that were out to destroy his mission here. It was a battle that lasted years. And Prabhupada was having his devotees working so hard in various places of the world. Devotees sacrificing their lives in America, in Japan, in Europe, so many places, just to collect money to build this temple. Why? Why so much beautiful carved marble? Carved teak wood. Nice guest rooms. Air conditioning. Nice beds. Restaurant. Lobbies. Auditoriums. And such beautiful deities. Decorated with such luxurious clothes and jewels. Why? Because Prabhupada understood that people are looking to see something beautiful. People are looking to taste something delicious. People are looking to hear something satisfying. People are looking to smell something that's sweet. People are addicted to their mind and their senses. So we have to give them the higher taste. We have to give them an alternative. Prabhupada said, if I sit under a tree chanting japa, how many people are going to come? Hare Krishna. But building such a wonderful place. And factually, all of our acharyas, so many of our acharyas have built such wonderful temples. They didn't need anything. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they gave up beautiful palaces to live under trees. They were happy. But for the sake of the people of the world, they have built Govindaji, Madan Mohan, such wonderful temples. Why? Prabhupada constructed Radharas Bihari Temple so that tens and thousands, millions of people will come to experience spiritual sense gratification. They'll see the beauty of God's house. Anyone who sees the temple of the Lord becomes purified because it is God's house. And the more they appreciate it, the more they become purified. And if they've experienced the cleanliness and the good standards, how much more spiritual progress they make. The more they appreciate, the more deeply they're affected by Krishna's mercy. And Prabhupada had the restaurant made so that they can taste prasad and harikatha and harikirtan, so they can hear sweet music. And when they come to the temple, they smell the sweet incense that's offered to the Lord. And they enjoy, but they're purified because it's Krishna's prasad. So all the senses. That is why Prabhupada built Radharas Bihari Temple, so that the mind and all the senses of anyone and everyone would be coming by the millions to become spiritually purified. And then gradually, by associating with devotees in this atmosphere, they want to participate. They want to join the kirtan and dance and chant. They want to read the books and understand what it's all about. And then their lives are transformed. Srila Prabhupada wrote these books, but he did it in such a brilliant way. Most Vedic literatures, they're just usually not very good paper. And they just have, you know, words. But Prabhupada had entire art departments making beautiful illustrations. Because he wanted these books to attract people's senses. To really attract people's senses. And many times the book distributors in America, book distributors are just one-on-one, just going up to a person one at a time and just showing them a book. And usually what they would do is open the book and point to a beautiful painting, sometimes changing bodies or sometimes the chariot of the body.
and led by the five senses. And people just look, it's so colorful, it's such a good piece of art. How could they not stop to look at a beautiful work of art? And then they start explaining, do you know what this means? Just like you, you are this body, you see. Which place are you on this changing body? The person, I'm here. You're here? Well, where can you see where you're going? Yeah, I see where I'm going. You better buy this book. Yes, give me this book. I don't want it. I'm going there. So much nice illustrations and such beautiful covers to his books. Why? The message in and of itself is enough to transform a person's heart. But to attract people's minds and senses so that they'll open their hearts to hear Prabhupada's words, to hear and chant the holy names. That is para upakar. That is the greatest of all welfare work. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he embraced Pratapa Rudra Maharaj again and again and again when he chanted this prayer, Tavakatamritam Tapta Jivanam. That the glorification of the qualities, the name, the form of the Lord is the most purifying and most sanctified thing in all of existence. And one who is promoting this chanting, one who is spreading this chanting of the glories of the Lord, Harikata, is the most munificent well-wisher of all society. So yes, people are chasing the illusory forms within the twilight of Brahma's creation. They have that propensity, so we want to attract them to see the real substance of the beautiful name, form, and qualities of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Should we end here? Would anyone like to ask any question or make any comments today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
In the lecture you mentioned that how people are addicted to something, that you gave the example of smoking. So Maya Devi, she keeps on telling you one more time, and keeps on alluring him. So how to get out of this addiction to any form of sense?
Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matpara. There are several verses in Gita that apply and give the solution to practically any question. And this is one of them. Krishna said you must restrain the senses and fix the consciousness on him. So we must understand through knowledge. Prabhupada told us we must read his books. If we do not read his books, if we do not discuss the subject matter of his books, Maya has all power to bewilder our intelligence, to cloud our discrimination. So therefore, we must be fixed to knowledge. And what is that knowledge? To understand what is this material existence? What are these mirage illusions within the twilight of material existence that we're so addicted to trying to enjoy? And what is the real substance? Prabhupada said, the fact that there's so many counterfeit currency means there must be real currency. There's no value or attraction to fool's gold unless there's real gold. So similarly, why are we so attached to illusory enjoyment? Because there must be real enjoyment.
This world is a perverted reflection. So we must simultaneously say no to the cigarette and engage our senses in a higher experience. We can say no to materialistic music in the modes of passion and ignorance. And simultaneously, hear the glorious Harikatha and Harikirtan. We could say no to sinful food that is simply a product of material nature. Krishna tells in Gita that any food that is not offered in sacrifice to Him is sin. You're eating sin. I recently heard a beautiful lecture of Prabhupada where Prabhupada was saying, we are not promoting vegetarianism, we are promoting prasad. Because vegetarianism is also eating sin. Not as much. Eating meat, fish, eggs, and all of these things is eating huge sin. Eating vegetarian is eating little sin. But eating prasad is pure, without karma, that elevates our consciousness. So yes, we have that propensity. Tapo divyam putra kayena satvam. Human life is meant for tapasya. And what is tapasya? To say no to what is unfavorable for devotional service. But in order to do that with continuity, we must say yes to those things that are favorable for devotional service. And in the association of devotees, this process is very pleasing to the heart. Because the association of devotees gives us the strength, the stability by which we could carry on saying no to Maya and yes to Krishna. The idle mind is devil's workshop. I have seen people trying to give up smoking cigarettes according to your analogy. If they just sit at home saying, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. Very difficult. Very, very difficult. But if they're out distributing books and worshipping the deity and preaching and doing so many wonderful services to Krishna, then their mind is occupied. They're experiencing a higher taste. And gradually, that inclination is cleansed. Cheto darpana marjana. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam. In the age of Kali, this chanting of the holy names is the ultimate higher taste that we're looking for. Because Krishna is most accessible through His name. So we must simultaneously give up our bad habits and engross ourselves in active, dynamic service in the association of devotees and chant the names of the Lord. Then by the mercy of Krishna, Raga Vaishava Muktaishtu Vishayanandriyaishtaran Atma Vishaya Vidhe Atma Prasadamadi Gajjati. By following these regulative principles, we get Krishna's mercy. And that mercy frees us from all these illusory attachments to the forms within the twilight of Brahma's creation. Is there any other questions? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Holiness Nanda Sankara.